Thank you so much for having me here today. It's a pleasure every time I'm here, but especially on Christmas Day, a day that I can be with my church family, you, my brothers and sisters, who I don't get to see nearly enough, and also my family from all over the world now. Thanks, Simon. It's good to be here celebrating the Nativity of our Lord, the Christmas story. And not just that, but Christmas stories. The stories that we tell each other, the Christmases past that we reminisce over, the stuff of Christmas cards, the stories about the gift that you were so surprised by, or the gift that you were maybe a little disappointed by, or the time that your big brother took his girlfriend to the lake, the gazebo, on that Christmas Eve, and for her, that Christmas gave her an engagement ring. Or the time that one kid who was kind of new to the whole Christmas experience, and so as he was unwrapping his gift, and it was his turn to show what he got, he held it up and said, "I got a box!" Or all those stories, I'm sure that you have many of your own that you tell each other, that maybe you'll tell each other today around the Christmas tree, remembering fondly. But not just those Christmas stories that we tell each other, but the ones we watch together. Christmas time is a time of lazy mornings and pillows and blankets all over the living room and those TV marathons and those cartoons and stories like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. Stories, stories, stories. Today, Christmas Day has become quite the movie day. 8 major motion pictures were scheduled for release today around the world. Christmas is so full of stories. It's a way that the Christian church, a way that we have impacted the wider culture, because Christians and non-Christians alike know that Christmas is about story. And there are those stories, those classics, like A Christmas Carol, or those even mundane stories, like the gift of the Magi. Everyday people, everyday things, but somehow they become larger than life when they're told in just that right way. Christmas is full of stories. Christmas is full of stories, and that's what we see in our reading today in Hebrews chapter 1. The author to the Hebrews seems like he just can't help but talk about stories. He's gushing stories. He opens up his letter with Christmas, his theme of God sending us not just an angel, not just a prophet, but a son, his only son. And from there, he just keeps going with stories. He talks about stories of our Lord's life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And then he goes on talking about these Old Testament stories. In verse 5, he talks about that story where David wanted to build God a temple. And then God, through the prophet Nathan, said, "I'll do you one better, David. Your son will build me a temple. Your son, I will call my son. I will be his father. I will establish his throne forever." And he goes on that other story in verse 5. All the Judean kings after Solomon, when they were enthroned and chosen, anointed by God, when they ascended to the throne, God would say through the prophet, "Today I've begotten you," calling the kings of Judah his son, because they were his representative to God's people, showing his protection, his love, and his stories to a people. And then in verse 6, another story, a story that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy, a story where Moses had just been told that he was not going to get to go into the promised land because of his sin. Joshua was appointed to be his successor, but God gave him that special grace that before he died, he got to see a vision of the future, a future when, yes, the people went into the promised land, but a future where God's human king, the king he chose, came into the world to restore order and justice, right all wrongs, and yes, even to be worshipped by angels. Story after story after story. Christmas is full of stories. And on a day when we remember our Lord born as an infant to Mary, we can imagine that even as a young boy, his life was full of stories. Even as a boy, His life would be full of the stories that he heard every Saturday as the teacher would come and sit down and tell those stories from the Old Testament. Stories that must have captured his imagination along with those of all the boys he must have played with. They must have loved the stories about the warriors of Israel fighting alongside the angel of Yahweh, fighting against the odds, overcoming more powerful enemies, and especially the young hero David, the boy who went from a shepherd to a king because he slew the giant and restored glory to a nation. How all the boys, when they played, must have all hoped deep down that they could be like David, that they could be a king, get rid of Herod and the phonies installed by the Romans, and to restore glory to God's people. All those stories that Jesus must have heard from his parents since a young age, but stories also that only he and his family knew, stories that they kept to themselves, like the story that his mother must have told him about the time that they took him to the temple. And when they were taking him to the temple to give him his name, an elderly man comes up and asks Mary if he can hold the baby. And he holds this baby in his arms and his face lights up. And he says, in song, you will be called prophet of the Most High. Something that Mary and Joseph believed, because they also told Jesus the story of the angel who visited them and told them that God had a special purpose for him, that God would be with him in a special way. Jesus knew, even as a young boy, that he was going to grow up to be a prophet. And so those stories must have had special significance to him, especially those stories about the prophet Elisha. Those must have been his favorite. The Elisha, the prophet who multiplied barley loaves enough to feed an army, the prophet who cleansed a man of his skin disease, of leprosy, by having him wash, the prophet who raised a young child from the dead and gave that child back to their parent. How he must have loved those stories, thinking to himself, what if I am going to be a prophet like Elisha? But I think he must have had a very special place in his heart for the story about Nathan the prophet who confronted a king who had gone wrong, had turned away from God, and had fallen into sin. And this prophet told David a story. He told him a story of two men, a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had all kinds of flocks. The poor man had one little lamb. It's more like a pet more than livestock. Did everything with this lamb. The lamb slept beside him in bed. It was like a daughter to him. And the rich man, when it was time to prepare food for a guest, takes the poor man's one lamb, kills it, and uses that to prepare the food. And when he heard that story, David was cut to the heart. He was sorry for his sin, and he turned back to God. How God can use a story to change people and turn them back to him. Stories. But why stories? Stories are so human. Stories are how we think. Stories are how we remember. Stories are our whole life. Stories are what makes sense of our experiences and our memories. Arguably, stories are what make us unique as human beings, because we're the only creatures on earth that can tell and hear stories. Stories are so human. But God is not a story. God the Father is not a story. He has no beginning. He is infinite. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. You can't wrap God up in a story. But God's Son becoming a human being, that's a beginning. As a human, you can wrap your arms around him. He can be a story. God's Son, who is called the Word of God, from that Greek word logos, which means message or even story. God's Son could be his story to humanity. God's Son could be a part of the human story. To become a part of the human story such that all stories fit into his story. so that the Christmas story gives all stories ever worth telling their meaning. All stories fit into Him, and all stories through Him are Christmas stories. And so it was only fitting that Jesus grew up to become a storyteller. Yes, He performed miracles, but those miracles pointed back to the stories of the Old Testament. And everywhere He went, He emphasized that more than anything, He came to preach. He came to tell those stories. And the way He told those stories changed the way everyone thought about God. He told stories about the kingdom of God. It's small now, but just you wait. He told a story about a mustard seed that grew into the largest tree in the world. He told stories about God's love. He told stories about God having a reckless love for His people. He told a story about a farmer who scattered seed everywhere, regardless of the quality of the soil. He told a story about a shepherd who abandoned 99 sheep to go look for the one that was lost. He told a story about a reckless father who gave everything to his son, and even when it was all squandered, took the son back and gave him even more. His stories changed the way everyone saw everything. Nothing was the same. His stories were good news. And He told those stories to everyone, to rich and to poor, to the religious, to the outcasts and the rejects. But not everyone liked His stories. Not everyone was okay with the story that Jesus' life was shaping up to be. They had their own stories, their own agenda. They wanted Him to fit into their stories. And that was because of the human sin that we all share. The sin which does not like God's stories, doesn't like hearing God's stories, doesn't like telling God's stories, is uncomfortable even talking to fellow Christians before and after the church service about the stories. Uncomfortable telling our own family members about the stories. The sinful nature, which tries to change the story, to make it more manageable, to say the Christmas story is something easy and simple that fits neatly into our own little compartments, to say that Jesus was born to challenge authority, to support the story of our own political cause, to say that Jesus was born to make us happy, to fit the story of us pursuing our own pleasures, to say that Jesus was only born just to die, to fit the story that we have no obligations, not to anyone or anything. The sinful nature that tries to change the story, the sinful nature that tried to end the story prematurely by writing Him a death sentence on the cross. But Jesus knew that His story was not over yet. Even as He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying with fear for His life, sweating blood, praying that there would be any other way, but knowing that it had to happen to forgive us our sins. Even then, He knew His story would not end, not that day. And He prayed with confidence, drawing on those stories that He grew up with. And He prayed that God would let His story continue, that God would raise Him from the dead. And God heard His prayer, and Jesus' story continued. He was alive in the body. He continued to tell stories to His disciples in the upper room, breaking bread. He told them stories on the beach, eating breakfast of fish. He continued to tell stories. And when He ascended to the right hand of God, that is when the stories only continued. Because that is the second Christmas, the ascension, the other side of Christmas. As Cyril of Alexandria said, God became man that man might become God. On that day, that is when God said to Jesus at His right hand, "Today I have begotten you. You are my son. I will be your father. All you angels worship him." He received the name that's above every name, the name that was rightfully his from before the creation of the world, but the name that was given on him afresh as a human being. And that was the message that filled the hearts of the apostles, of Peter, of the author to the Hebrews, talking about the ascension, about the Lord who wasn't just born to make us happy or to challenge authority or to die, but the one who was born to rule forever. These are the stories that took over the world. They took over an empire. Stories that were told in every kind of language. Stories that the Lord continues to tell because His work is not yet done. Because seated at God's right hand in the world to come, He continues His work. He's in a place that is physical. It's real. He sits down in a physical throne. He has a physical body. There are physical rooms that He is preparing for us. There are physical cities with physical food and physical animals. To us, it's still the future, but He comes to us now. As our high priest, He forgives our sins. He asks God for forgiveness, and He pours it out into our physical communion cups as we receive them today. He continues to tell stories, to speak words of forgiveness, words that echo through eternity and are heard through pastors and our brothers and sisters in Christ with each other here in church. The stories only continue at God's right hand in the world to come, the world that will one day catch up with the world we are in now. The two worlds will become one. And we will live forever in resurrected bodies with the Lord Jesus. The stories have continued. He's told stories through the saints, through saints like Polycarp, who was martyred when he was 86 years old because he refused to say that Caesar is Lord. He learned that Jesus is Lord. And so his death was a story about the Lord Jesus. Or Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas, who slapped the heretic Arius across the face because he wouldn't listen to Arius's stories about the Lord. Arius, the heretic who said that Jesus was just a man, he was less than God. He defended the Lord's honor, and his stories have continued even until today. And we hear more and more stories from Christians, Christians like J.R.R. Tolkien, Christians like C.S. Lewis, telling us stories about Narnia, about Middle Earth, stories which all point to the Christmas story, Christmas stories, all of them, because of the Lord Jesus, the God who became man, so that He as man would rule as God, seated at God's right hand, telling stories, telling the stories He grew up on, telling the stories that we've grown up on, telling us stories as we read the Bible every day with our spouse, telling stories with our family members gathered around the Christmas tree or even the dinner table, telling each other stories, telling each other and telling others stories, even those mundane stories with everyday characters and fallible people. But because of the way they're told, because of the way they fit in with the Christmas story, the stories become larger than life, and they point the way to Jesus Christ, the one who sits at God's right hand. He continues to tell us those stories that confirm the ending that God has already written in the world to come. May God fill our lives with Christmas stories, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.